Welcome to Power Your Profits Podcast, your friendly guide in bringing your business revenue to the next level. Listen as host Dr. Susie Carter hears inspiring stories of success from her fellow entrepreneurs and transformational leaders. Prepare to make significant change to your strategies as they unravel the secrets of building multi-million dollar businesses and the most effective tips on finance, marketing, and sales accountability. If you want to take your first steps towards explosive business growth, this podcast is for you. Without further ado, here is your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome to this episode of Power Your Profit Podcast. I'm your host, Susie Carter. And this week's guest, you're going to be so excited. I'm excited every time I talk to her. I get so inspired. She's a data geek like me, right? To help us quantify our marketing, right? Letitia Stiles is a speaker and an online marketing certified professional. She's the founder and CEO of You've Got Clients and author of the forthcoming book, Assume the Throne, 4 Steps to Unlock Your True Identity and Power as a Leader. Her audience is over 88,000 followers, subscribers, and regular viewers. Letitia provides tips, guidance, insights on branding, marketing, content creation, mindset, and so much more. Her work has been featured in Forbes magazine, Fast Company, and Business Insider. Please welcome my guest, Letitia Stiles. Oh my God, I'm so excited to talk to you. And I would say this is probably one of the biggest challenges that all business have. Doesn't matter the size, right? I know you really specialize in helping people take their brand to that next level. Mm-hmm. And you want to work with serious entrepreneurs, which is who our community is, that they're willing to implement it, do the work, make it happen, be coachable. We were talking about that in the green room. So tell everybody from your perspective, really your magic and what is your business doing now that's different than unique than everybody else? Because everybody says they do marketing strategy, but this is not my first rodeo. So there's a huge distinction in what you do and then what other people say they do.
Yeah, absolutely. So I will say one of my biggest distinguishing features and unique selling propositions is that I'm really good at spotting where efficiencies can happen in the marketing strategy. And when I say that is really looking at, you know, what things are we doing consistently that we don't need to hire a social media marketing agency to do. We can potentially, you know, use some sort of automation in order to make that happen. And so it's more so going down the path of the marketing strategy in terms of how can we generate that demand, that inbound demand, but also do it in a way that's efficient, so to speak.
Right. So many people, I think in business, like the whole pandemic, and even though it's technically over, it's not over, right? I think our businesses keep going through another reiteration. What are you seeing that shifted in this season, right? That's different last year, different when it first came out. What are you seeing in this season that's really helping with our marketing strategies?
I think the big difference is honestly AI. It's a conversation that it just keeps coming up and the industry is moving faster and faster. Every day there's a new tool, a new project that's being rolled out. And whereas there were business owners who previously were interested and then maybe they said, okay, I'll dip my toe in. Now we're getting to the point where you really have to pay attention to it. And if you don't feel like you have the bandwidth to pay attention or you're not able to really understand what's going on, you have to be willing to bring somebody in who can start finding those efficiencies where AI can help and where a lot of these tools can help so that you can make the most of it. It's really important.
Right. I agree. We're just doing a whole class on it from what we're doing it to go, look, you can't be afraid of it. You just got to jump in. Yeah. Right. I just did a whole training. One of my clients, bless his heart, I was trying to have him do video and wasn't very good at it. I'm like, well, we've got to get this out, and created this whole AI video presentation. It was amazing, right? Yeah. And it took me probably 3 hours, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I know that was not a good use of my time, but I was also learning the platform to go, would we use this? How would our clients use it? You got to play with it to go, oh, to not be afraid of it, right? Yeah. How can I present my brand? Especially when you're working inside of budgets, and it doesn't matter how many zeros we're managing. We always have a budget, right? You could be a $2 million company, $5 million. We all have marketing budgets. We have operations budgets. So
Yeah. I think the key to that, sorry to interrupt, but I think the key to that is because there are so many tools that are coming out right now, it's really important to understand and work with someone who knows the strategy behind it. Like you were mentioning, like you were looking at a new tool and you were able to use that tool versus someone else who was like, okay, I think this is something I want to do. And now they're going to waste their time to go and research what are all the different tools that I can use. And so when it comes to marketing strategy, because there's so many different tools that can be implemented and can be used, you have to really find someone who understands that things are changing all the time, but I understand the strategy, and then I can figure out what tools I need to use to plug it in. So it's kind of making sure you have the right human in the process.
Yes. And to leverage it. So let's talk a little bit. You had said something. So I have a client that's like, we don't like to use a scheduler in social media. We get more engagement when it's not. And I'm like, well, I get that, but there's also efficiencies. Yeah. So can Absolutely. You share a little bit about that? Because I think there's a lot of people that there's that mixed message again. Mm-hmm. Do I use a scheduler? There's some that are obvious that it's a schedule and there's some that aren't, and they're a little more camouflage. What's your belief about I got to post live every day?
Yeah, I see that. I have seen just anecdotally that posting natively on the platform does seem to get a little bit more visibility than if you're using a scheduler, like a Buffer or a Hootsuite or something like that. But here's the cool thing with a lot of these newer tools that are coming out. There's something called robotic process automation, where it's essentially doing the same clicks that a human being would do. And now you can still, quote unquote, schedule your social media posts or those things that you want to do the same way that a human being would do the clicks, but you can have a robot that actually does the clicks. And so this is what I mean about recognizing that there are tools that you can use to replace the things that you used to do. And these things just weren't available just, you know, as short as 3 or 4 years ago. And the industry is just rapidly advancing.
Right. So fast, right? Mm-hmm. So let's tell people a little bit of your backstory, because I love your backstory. Yeah. Right? You've got such an entrepreneurial journey. And even when we didn't know what that word meant, right? I love your story. So kind of share how you became you and your entrepreneurial journey, because it is sweet.
Sure. So I'll go all the way back to when I was a kid. And I remember I went to my parents, it was my sister and I, we both went to our parents and we were like, hey, we want an allowance. And I think my mom looked at me and our dad looked at us and, you know, he said, well, I won't give you an allowance, but I'll invest in your first business. And I don't remember if those were the exact words that he said, but, you know, I just remember we were looking at him like, what are you talking about? So he told us that he was going to take us to Sam's Club, which is like a big box wholesale retailer. He was going to take us to Sam's Club. He was going to purchase candy and we could take that candy. Then we could sell it at school or in our neighborhood. And we did that. And so we were actually surprised that, you know, wow, we bought this. It only cost us, you know, $20 or $30 to buy this. And by the time we finished selling it, wow, we have, you know, $40 or $50 or $60, which was a big deal. And I also remember we started eating some of the candy as well, because obviously we're kids. So we're like, look at all this candy. And that was the first time that I learned the idea of profit or the definition of profit. And he told us, well, I've already given you, I bought the candy for you the first time, but I'm not buying it again. So you have to make sure that you have enough money to go and buy more so that you can sell it again. And he sat us down and he helped us look at the numbers. And that's when I understood, okay, I have to make sure that my business has enough to run. And then, you know, maybe I don't eat all the candy. Maybe I eat, you know, just a little bit of it and take some for myself. So yeah, that was my first foray into entrepreneurship.
I love it. Well, I repurposed my Halloween candy and sold it to my brothers and sisters, right? But for chores, right? Because I'm like, you eat all your candy. And to this day, I don't like candy. And I don't know if I don't like it, but I just to leverage, right? I can give you a big chocolate bar and you'll do dishes. We had 9 kids. So think about every dinner was like Thanksgiving dinner, right? So to go, I love when these stories come. And then you look at where you are today, you know, that's huge.
Yeah, so, it definitely had a big impact for sure.
Yeah, that's huge. I love it. Because what a smart dad, right? Yeah. to go spending that time to really teach you business and the structure of business.
And yeah, and they only had to give us an allowance once. And so we couldn't ask again.
That was smart to go, you can earn it.
Yeah.
My kids, when they were little, like, I have to earn everything I do. I'm like, yeah, well, so do I. So you're going
to
earn
right.
it.
Right. Welcome
That's
to life.
How the world works, right? Hard lessons, but good lessons, right? They yeah. both of them are, you know, high achievers and entrepreneurial in their own right. So it does make a difference. I always say, bring your kids in the journey, bring your family in the journey, right? That
absolutely,
as long as it's a functional family, right? there's both philosophy, don't hire family. And then there's teach your children how to work inside a business, right?
Right.
So let's talk about your journey in building businesses and really looking, what was your biggest, I'm going to call it failure or learning experience, yeah. you know, in business. And then, you know, what was your takeaway from it?
Gosh, there's so many.
well, I'll say that's key, right? Yeah. To go, there's so many, and she's still laughing. So I think that's huge. You're still laughing about it.
Yeah, you have to. If you don't laugh, you'll cry. So I guess the first one was me quitting my full-time job to go full-time in a business. So the very first business that I started, I had a couple of other quote unquote businesses before then, but I'll say this was probably my first foray into, I'm going to quit my full-time job, not just do something as a side hustle and call it a business, but I'm going to quit my full-time job and take this as a business. It was a blog that I was working on, and I saw it as the opportunity to create a media company, create a lot of content, make money from ads, et cetera, et cetera. And as I was launching that blog, it was a personal finance blog, I was really dependent on affiliate deals for a lot of the revenue that was coming in, which wasn't very big at the time, but it was enough to keep me away from having to work a full-time job. And a couple of months into running it and really trying to get it ramped up, one of the main affiliate programs shut down. So they contacted me. They said, hey, none of your links are going to work by this date. So please remove everything. We're closing our program down. And just like that, 80% of the income was gone. And I really tried to make things work. I was really trying to run and figure out like, oh, how can I, you know, get this working? But unfortunately, I didn't have enough time. I didn't have enough runway as far as how much money I had saved in order to not work full time and also work on the business and need the money coming from the business to support me. So it was too little too late at that point. So I will say that was one of my first failure lessons, which is, even if you do have money saved, it's important to, number one, diversify your revenue streams. So never be dependent on any one client or any one source of revenue. And secondly, always be ahead of a multiples of clients leaving. So you fill your pipeline essentially. So even if that affiliate program, like even if that program has shut down, I should have already been looking to what other programs can I start putting in place so that I'll have, you know, multiple programs going, because it's an SEO model, like a search engine model. So how can I get the search content getting ranked so that those other programs start producing? And it was a very valuable lesson. While I was learning the lesson, I went back to a full-time job, and that was another story. That's another story as well.
There is always more stories, right? Yeah. That's juicy, right? Just to go, oh, well, I love that it didn't stop you. Mm. Right? I think some people feel like, oh, I know that my biggest lessons have been the biggest failures, right? Mm-hmm. And even the biggest successes, like those bloody knees and bloody elbows are what really got me the tenacity, and you've earned your stripes in business to go, oh, that's part of business.
Yeah.
I don't absolutely. Like it. You don't like it. And it's not fun, but it is part of, you know, how we do business.
Yeah, for sure.
So in marketing, do you work with a client and look at their budget? Is there a budget for advertising? Like, we kind of share, here's your budget, here's what you need to do. But from your perspective, mm-hmm. what should I be investing? Because there is a should, right? It's not this passive thing that's over here and go, oh, I need to do this campaign, let me spend marketing dollars.
Yeah, sure. So I guess one of the first things that we really look at is, where are the majority of your clients coming from today? And then how can we optimize that process of, you know, speed to lead? Are we actually generating leads from this source? And how can we increase those conversions? And I will say one of the biggest things that's changed over the last couple of years is that buyers, sophisticated buyers in particular, so if you're doing a B2B offer, sophisticated buyers are not just looking at what can you do for me, they're also looking at who are you and do I trust you? Because the industry is getting more and more crowded because we are now in a global economy. We're all online for the most part. And so you could be competing. You're not just competing with people in your local area. You're also competing, you know, depending on your business, but you're also competing with the entire nation. You're competing with people in other countries. And so there's a lot of people who can do what you do. And with that said, individual buyers, sophisticated buyers, they're looking for someone with that personal brand that they connect with. They want to see the business owner, the CEO, the person who's leading. They want to see, is this someone that I can trust? Is this someone I want to connect with? And I think that's why we're seeing personal brand being more important and you sharing more of your philosophy and your views on different social media platforms that might not necessarily be, okay, now come sign up for my webinar or now come sign up for a phone call. Things have gotten a little bit different.
Right.
You're listening to another episode of Power Your Profits podcast. We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors. Are you tired of pouring resources into strategies that don't work? Say hello to Dr. Suzy Carter, your future fractional COO. With Dr. Suzy in your corner, your business can skyrocket to seven figures and beyond. With a track record of creating thriving businesses, trust that you are in good hands. Head over to coo.poweryourprofits.com and let us put some magic into your business growth. Overwhelmed by the complexity of business profit strategies? Jump aboard the Bullet Train to Big Profits course, a streamlined solution by Dr. Suzy Carter. This course is designed to uncomplicate the path to profitability. Imagine being able to identify and execute profit strategies with ease, skyrocketing your revenues. Visit course.poweryourprofits.com and sign up for the Bullet Train to Big Profits course today.
And so is there a marketing budget? So if I'm doing $1 million, not your salary, right? But in my advertising spend, do you have a budget that we should be spending?
That question would be subjective based on the goals,
right?
Based on the goals that you have, and because everyone has a different budget. For example, there's a client that I was speaking to, a potential client that I was speaking to. They're spending $100K a month and generating $1.7 million a month. So from that perspective, they have a 9-to-1 ROI. But every client is not going to be that way. Every business owner is not going to be that way. Some might need to spend $300 or $400 to earn that same 1.7 in a month. And so with that said, the first thing to do is to look at how can we first optimize these pieces for people that are coming in so that we don't overspend and just go after, okay, we just need a bigger budget first. It's like, no, well, let's look at these pieces that you already have in place and how can we optimize those pieces first to determine what the best budget might be for your goals.
So what are the things that I'm looking for? So when you say that, so if I'm spending, you know, $100,000, what am I looking for? And I know it's a blanket, right? Cause you're like, well, Suzy, again, it depends. I'm trying to put her in this box. She's like, there's no box. Yeah. I don't play in a box. There's no sandbox. Like I know there's best practices, I guess we can say. Versus, you know, one answer, because there's not there. It depends
again
on our strategy. It depends on what we're doing. So what are some of the indicators I should be looking at?
Yep.
I'll give you an example. So we have a client that we, you know, doing a launch and the launch model works, right? Closing 200,000 to 300,000, every launch cycle. We're getting about 1500 leads that come in and about two to 300 show up. And okay. So just looking at conversions and looking at some things, just going, what should be the indicator she should be looking for to go, is this really working?
The end result, like based on what you're putting in, are you getting out more? I think that's more of an ROI question in terms of based on our advertising budget, are we truly bringing in the return on investment that we're looking for? Because there comes a point where you increase the advertising budget and then your ROI drops because you lose a little bit of efficiency. So I guess I'm trying to answer the question without.
Well, let's look at what should be some of the indicators I should be looking for, right? To measure, let's just say, I don't know what I don't know to go. Some of the questions you should be looking for in any ad spend, because what I find is everybody wants to do ads, whether it's Google ads, Facebook, Insta, whatever, right? LinkedIn, what are some of the indicators I should be looking at so I can see, is it working or not working? Because most people don't know, right? Yeah. They don't have a Letitia, right? They might have an agency or their job is to get more, ad spend depending on how their model is set up. So give me some examples of what we should be looking for so we know, we can go, is this working? Is this not working? ROI, so big one, right?
Yeah, ROI. You could look at cost per lead. Mm-hmm. I hesitate to say that because you want to make sure. Okay, so let's just lay it all out. If you look at cost per lead, you have to be able to segment which leads convert, because you could have a higher cost per lead, but those leads convert at a higher rate versus another segment of leads that came in that were lower cost per lead, but they didn't convert as high. So we have to look at cost per lead alongside other metrics. Same thing with a lot of the other metrics. Is the click-through rate 1% or better? If it is, that means that the ad's shown to 1,000 people, and of those 1,000 people, you got that 1% to see it and say, yes, I'm interested. Of those who click through, did they then take the next action that you wanted them to take, which is booking a call? So of those who click through, what percentage of people actually came through and scheduled a call? Where's the main drop off? So then we're also looking at drop off, like where are things dropping off? So not knowing the exact funnel, let's assume that the funnel is add to a scheduling page, which might have some more information, and then a calendar embed and calendar embed to thank you page. So kind of like a simple funnel. So let's assume that you're looking at your click-through rate. Your click-through rate looks good, but then for some reason you have a high drop-off on your calendar booking page, meaning they're coming to the page, they're interested, and your click-through rate is good, but you have, you're only getting, maybe 10% of those people to then book a call. So then we want to look at, based on what they said they already wanted, they clicked it, so they're interested. Why are they not booking a call? Do I not have enough time spots open? Is there something on this page that's turning them off? Is there something that, am I asking for too much information on the form? So then we look to try to optimize that step because we figure out where the problem is. So in terms of figuring out what should we be looking for, it's first looking at the big picture of where is the problem, where is the bottleneck, where are my numbers not looking good and dropping off, and then starting to narrow down and drill down into what's going on here and changing one thing at a time to really determine what's the one thing that can make that difference.
That's so juicy, right? And so if what?
It's so boring.
No, it's so juicy, right? Because
does she really want me to get into this? Okay, fine.
Because the answers are in the question, right? To go, and I've been doing this for years and I'm still, sometimes this isn't obvious. And I think if you have no idea what she's talking about, juicy, let's book a call, right? Because that's the first thing you want to do is to go, let's book a call because I don't even know that I don't even know. And again, it doesn't matter how many zeros we're managing, because marketing changes like your underwear. Like it just changes so fast that it's hard for me running a business, being the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, to manage it all. You can't. You have to have an expert in your corner that's going to ask you the hard questions. And that's all I hear you doing is going, there are more questions than answers until they'll get those questions answered. And if somebody, what I love, Leticia, is your transparency of going, there is no one size fit all. And I think as consumers and businesses, we're trying to look for the silver bullet. Well, the silver bullet's in the details. And if you don't like details, you've got to find someone that's willing to dig in the details and give you, here's why it's not working. Right. I know I've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in advertising that haven't worked because those questions weren't asked. I didn't know what I didn't know. Right. Those questions weren't answered because I didn't. I might have the high level stats, but I don't know. And I think that's what's important is to go, because you don't know doesn't make you a bad business person. The first part of change is going, I don't know. Then who knows? Right. I think
sometimes I find that a lot of business owners at that level, they don't even have insight into the numbers. So they don't even know, they can't even answer the question, where is the drop off? Because the only thing they're getting for, either from their advertising agency or, you know, if they're, you know, trying to do it in-house, the only thing they're getting is, this is what we spent on ads and these are the results. And so without digging into the details, it's difficult to diagnose and to figure out what's broken.
Well, I love that because that's where most of us, and I'm talking clients that are spending millions in advertising, right? It's it to go, oh, one little tick, right? We always say that business is like this combination lock. One little tick and this won't open. That's marketing spend. That's to go, if we're not managing that, I can't just keep throw more money at it. Now I've done it wrong. That's the only reason why I can sit here and say this. Because I'm like, oh, well, if my ROI was 9 times, let me just spend 9 times. Okay, no, that did not work, right? That philosophy doesn't work. I think we get so excited about the Insta stories and the reels and like, okay, I want to do that. I just need to spend this. No.
Well, and there's, so just to get really nerdy with it, there's a tool that I really like called Segmetrics, S-E-G, Segmetrics. And what that does is it looks at that entire flow. So it'll look at, based on the ads that you're running, the individual ads from Facebook or wherever, whatever you're running ads, LinkedIn, wherever, based on the ads that you're running, which ad sets created clients, which ad sets are contributing to phone calls. And because of the issues with you know, iOS and a lot of these platforms and different tracking, we lost a lot of insight into the tracking over the last couple of years. And what Segmetrics does is they integrate with your actual platforms. So you're telling them this happened on my side. And then Segmetrics is looking at, okay, this is what happened on Facebook side. So now we can match it up and tell you, well, this person visited your website. They didn't give you their email address at that point, but we saw that same computer, that same IP address 2 months later, finally give you their email. And they happen to click an ad and then they happen to book a call. And initially they came from this search term. And so I really geek out over that. I love like digging into that and figuring out, you know, where people are coming from and what's happening. And that's one of the tools in my toolkit that I use to do that.
I love it. I geek out with you. I don't want to do it. Let me just share. I don't want to do it, but I want someone that knows how to do it to go. Yeah. Cause that really has me. One, it shows the value of you to the client, right? To go, hey, here, I'm going to look at this data and tell you why it's working or not working. That's priceless. People always go, marketing is so expensive. Well, it is if they're not really looking at all the indicators that we do to get that result. It's not just about making things pretty, right? Yeah. In the beginning, you might think making it pretty worked and your brand is important and your personal brand is important. But once you start doing the serious work in here, it's all about metrics. Now, I didn't like this in the beginning, but when I've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars wrong, and to go, well, I'm just thinking about like when my book came out and the book launch and how much money we spent wrong, you know, I could have just bought all the books that I spent in marketing. Right. And hit New York Times. Right. Not that you can do it anymore. That was old school, old day. But to go, you know, because I didn't have a Leticia, right? Had a good marketing team, but making it pretty and doing all the things. But the analytics is where the meat is. Now, if I'm going way too geeky on you, it's okay. And if we are, because I'm directing the conversation, I think I want to know as a business owner. And if your marketing person can't ask these questions or doesn't have any insight in it, then you need to book an appointment with Leticia to go, here's where I'm at, here's where I'm spending, right? Yeah. How can you help me? So how do you help people, right? I know that they can set, have a consultation with you. I know we have a gift for them to go, let's dig into this conversation and know that you got to be serious about your business, right? This isn't for beginners or looky-loos or someone going, I just want to, you know, check it out. No, we want to unlock the combination to how do I make the most of my marketing spend, whether it's $1,000 or $100,000, it's irrelevant, right? The number of zeros isn't. So how do people get a play with you?
Absolutely. So I had an idea for a different free gift, but I want to do something different based on our conversation, which is what metrics you should be looking at, because I did a full training on that. Now that I'm thinking about it, I did a full video training on what metrics we should be looking at, and also three places you can optimize. Mm-hmm. So I'll put that on the free gift page. The link will be the same, but I'll put that there. And as far as what I offer and why you should book a call, one of the things that I'm really, really good at is the strategy. And that's part of the reason why when I answer a question, I'm kind of tiptoeing a little bit, because I have to see the full picture first. And as soon as I see the full picture, I can identify almost immediately, this is where the inefficiencies lie. And this is what we can update from a marketing standpoint, from a marketing automation standpoint. So the best thing to do would be to book a call. Let me know what issues you're having and the problems that you're seeing and what you'd like to happen instead. And then I can let you know, just completely honest, like, this is where I think you're seeing some inefficiencies. And if I can help, I'll definitely let you know. But that would be the best solution, just to book a call and we can chat about it.
So I'm going to put all this in the show notes so you don't have to write anything down. If you're driving, if you're, you know, if you're just listening to this while you're working out, which I applaud you for doing, right? And that's another secret about her. You go check her out. She's a bodybuilder, this beautiful, owning your feminine power while you're owning your market space. So many ways that you can contribute to us as women. Anything you want us to know about you before we sign off?
Well, you've already told my secret about the fitness modeling, so it's not a secret, but I think the most important thing to know about me is that I'm constantly looking for ways to optimize what I'm doing. And because I'm always looking for that for myself, I always look for that for my clients. What are you doing that can be optimized? I didn't tell this story in the pre-notes, but I actually fired myself from my very first job because I figured out how I could take the work that I was doing and have it done with via spreadsheet. And it eventually ended up eliminating my position. And that very first thing that I did, I just recognized over the last couple of weeks, I'm like, I've always been looking for efficiencies and it comes very naturally to me. So I will say that's probably the one thing I can leave you with is, always look for efficiencies. They're always there.
They are always there. I geek out over that, right? And I've had to learn the hard way because I've done it so inefficiently.
Yeah.
Right. They go, so we're looking for those unicorns. So if you love this, right, like the podcast, but also share it with your tribe and your community, right? Because this is the gold to make all the money that we're spending in this division called marketing have that ROI and pay for itself. Right? So that you can keep growing your brand. You can keep making a difference. I just want to say thank you. I honor you for who you are and what you are in the world and what you're up to and helping us as entrepreneurs get our message out so people know us, see us, hear us. Again, Leticia's link is in the show notes. Our gift is in the show notes. That is gold. That's worth your time and, you know, just in clicking the link and listening. So thank you so much for who you are and what you are. And I look forward to playing some more together.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Power Your Profits Podcast. Let these building blocks from today's most successful industry leaders equip you with the necessary resources and tools to finally establish the highly profitable business of your dreams. Want to hear more? Listen to more episodes at www.poweryourprofitspodcast.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the show. Now is your time to rise to the top of your game. So be sure to catch our next episode. Until next time.